Wouldn't that make your life so much easier? And you can shave dry or wet. It's up to you. Visit skullshaver.com and see the shavers that can make your life easier. These shavers are so good, they've been featured on TV's The Doctors. They're flexible, cordless, and there's a money-back guarantee. What are you waiting for? Visit skullshaver.com today. That's skullshaver.com.
The next generation of power is at the Home Depot, and it's found in Ryobi One Plus tools. Right now, during Ryobi Days, buy a Ryobi One Plus lithium-ion compact drill driver kit and get another select Ryobi One Plus tool free, a $79 value. The same battery runs both tools, plus over 70 other One Plus tools. So drill it, drive it, cut it, and save during Ryobi Days, only at the Home Depot. More saving, more doing. Valid 5/18 through 6/22.
Yeah, so I was going up there looking for a fastball. That's all I've been seeing all game. And knew that he's kind of a quick guy coming to the plate. And obviously he got me the first couple times I faced him. And right away he threw a fastball right down the middle and I was ready to jump on it and hit a big home run there in that situation. It sparked our team a little bit. And, I mean, right when I came back to the dugout, everybody was pumped up and I thought that was going to be the turning point and we just couldn't get anything going after that. So.
That's Jake Adams last night after Iowa's 7-5 loss to Houston at the NCAA Regional Baseball Tournament. Todd Brummelkamp show with Alex Kuhn continuing on into hour number two on KGYM 106.3 FM, the South Gym in Iowa City, 107.5 FM, the North Gym in Cedar Rapids, and all across a sun-drenched eastern Iowa on the historic Main Gym, 1600 AM. We'll be talking Thad Matta and Ohio State coming up in hour number three with Bill Landis from the Cleveland Plain Dealer. But first, oh, this is just, it's a small world because we've got a University of Tennessee alum on the line with us. But it's not our former friend and co-host, Tyler Ryder. It's actually Dargan Southard from the Iowa City Press Citizen who was in Houston all weekend with the Iowa baseball team, making his first appearance on the program with us. And Dargan, we appreciate you taking time to join us here. I'm probably a little tired from traveling back and forth to Houston, but how was your time in the Lone Star State?
Oh, it was great. Thanks, guys, for having me on. You know, this was actually the first time I had gotten to cover a regional in my career. So I had a blast. And, you know, they got to watch a lot of good baseball down here. Iowa, of course, you know, opened with a win and then dropped two close games to get eliminated. But I was really impressed with what they were able to do down here, holding their own against some big boy baseball teams, so to speak. So I was impressed with how the Hawkeyes hung down in Houston.
With the way that they played in the Big Ten tournament, winning that tournament, what were your expectations for this team kind of heading into this regional?
I kind of said to myself, you know, before the brackets were even released, I said if they were able to win one game in the NCAA tournament, and as long as they weren't that first team that goes two and out, then I would consider it, you know, a pretty solid appearance. And they really, you know, probably even exceeded my expectations coming out that first game and knocking off the top-seeded Cougars, and then, you know, was right there in the A&M game, you know, one or two plays, you know, more their way, and they win that game, and then they're sitting in control of the regional, needing only, you know, one win in their next two games. But, you know, after they dropped that A&M game, you know, it was an uphill climb, so to speak, and they fought again, you know, last night all the way deep into the night, and you know, came up short. But, yeah, no, I had said kind of to myself if they had won one game down here, then that would be a more than successful appearance, and they certainly held their own.
Dargan Southard from the Iowa City Press Citizen and HawkCentral.com joining us on the Todd Brummelkamp show here on a Monday. What was the mood like among the players and the coaching staff after that Texas A&M loss on Saturday night?
You know, it was tough just because that game, if kind of like I said, that's the turning point there. You know, if it goes your way, then you're sitting pretty and really have a good shot in winning and going. Then if you lose, obviously, it's a tough one. So, you know, I they gave us we talked to Nick Gallagher and Jake Adams after that game, and they were down. I mean, they knew, you know, what kind of opportunity they had that night, and you know, it slipped away there. But, you know, they were confident, you know, like they have all season, that, you know, they could fight and make some more noise, you know, that they weren't finished. And they did that last night, you know, fighting back from multiple deficits and, you know, before ultimately coming up short. But, yeah, I mean, that A&M loss really was tough to swallow for them a little bit.
Dargan, we talked about you as a University of Tennessee alum, and there were obviously three Southern teams in that regional. My question is, I think a lot's made about the difference between baseball in the North and in the South. What was the biggest difference, I guess, roster-wise, between the Hawkeyes and the other three teams in that regional?
Well, you know, they kind of talked about it to start off, that just, you know, being from the North, you don't get a whole lot of respect on a national level, and that, you know, I think was certainly the case. You know, everyone recognized that they were the Big Ten champs and they had a nice run, but then being the four seed, maybe, you know, a little underseeded there a bit, and, you know, especially going down there in Texas, which is kind of the heart of baseball country, so to speak, you know, I don't know how much, you know, people were expecting from them. And I guess the biggest difference, and this is more so based on kind of the injuries that they had accumulated, but from my perspective, I mean, it was clear that Iowa's pitching depth was probably the thinnest of the four teams down here. And, you know, after Nick Gallagher and Ryan Erickson, it was kind of a piece it together type deal as far as the starting you know, guys after that goes. And, you know, Houston and A&M and Baylor all, you know, had, you know, pretty solidified, you know, starting pitching. But, you know, again, you know, they were able to get, you know, solid performances from a number of guys. You know, they kind of, you know, would have needed, you know, A-plus efforts from everyone, kind of like they got in the Big Ten tournament, to pull something really crazy off. But, yeah, I would say the pitching was probably, you know, I was back, I would say, you know, could hit it just as well as anyone down there. But the pitching depth, ultimately, is kind of what did them in, you know, the last few games here.
What was the perception of the program down there in Houston among the fans who weren't there to cheer on Iowa? Was there talk about this team coming from the North, they're not going to be very good? And then did they surprise some people with their play? What did you hear people saying about the Hawkeyes?
Yeah, I would think, actually, you know, kind of what I said, you know, they probably didn't have a whole lot of respect from the various fan bases. Just kind of, you know, what I touched on, just being from the North, being from the Midwest, you know, it's not always the most, you know, promoted brand of baseball, so to speak. But I know for a fact that they left an impression on, you know, the various coaching staff. Houston's Todd Whitting, their head coach, after the game said that, you know, Iowa was one of the best teams that they faced all year, and had a lot of praise, obviously, for Jake Adams. I think he said he was the best hitter, or at least the best power hitter in the country. So whether or not they had a lot of people's respect, you know, from a fan perspective coming down here, probably not a whole lot. But again, with what they were able to do, you know, being in those, along with the game that they won, being right there in the two games that they lost, I think they leave Houston, you know, feeling pretty good about themselves and gaining some momentum, you know, on a bigger scale.
How hot of a name is Rick Heller within the college baseball circles now after this run?
I would say it's heating up. You know, what he's been able to do since he's got here, going to now two regional appearances in 3 years after the program only had three total regional appearances, NCAA tournament appearances before he even got here. You know, what he's been able to do to bring life and kind of inject a good dose of excitement in this program in a short time, you know, I really think his name is gaining more traction, even more so. You know, he's a guy who's been around for a while. This is his third Division I stop. He's been, you know, coaching baseball for three decades now. But, you know, what he's been able to do these last 4 years, I really think, you know, amps up that recognition, you know, with his name.
Now, Jake Adams downplayed talk of next week's Major League Baseball draft last night after the game is over, but he has clearly shot up some draft boards. There's some other players that are going to be under consideration for the draft. I certainly think Nick Gallagher is in the discussion. Your best guess as to what Rick Hiller is going to face moving into next season from a roster standpoint?
Yeah, so, you know, Jake Adams, obviously, you know, with his historic season, has shot up draft boards, you know, potentially into the top 10 rounds. If I had a hunch, you know, if you kind of just logically think about it, his stock probably not going to be any higher than it is right now after the season that he had. So I would lean towards him probably being gone next year. Nick Gallagher is, like you said, another name who will be in that mix, another junior who could potentially go after a season where he kind of elevated himself into that Friday role and was, you know, the ace that Iowa needed for most of the year. And then, you know, they'll lose Mason McCoy, Josh Marching, and Ryan Erickson. Those are the three, I would say, big seniors that they're losing. You know, starting shortstop, who ended up being their Saturday guy, and then they're probably their best reliever. So there will be some holes to fill. But, you know, the majority of the team comes back. They'll get, in theory, at some point, C.J. Eldred back, Nick Allgaier back, Cole Camp back. Those were three guys who could have been weakened rotation for, you know, a part or if not the entire season. All three of those guys, maybe not at the beginning of the season, but probably will be back at some point in 2018. And then, you know, the recruiting class that they bring in is pretty strong as well. Obviously, you know, right down the road with Connor McCaffrey will be an addition that could potentially fill that first base hole along with Grant Judkins, who got, you know, some DH time down the stretch and was in the lineup consistently. He could shift to first base. So, you know, if you look at this roster next year for 18, you know, it'll look pretty familiar, I think, for the most part. Obviously, Adams, I think, probably won't be there. But even if he isn't, you know, a lot of this roster will be back, and there should be a lot of momentum, I think, with this run going into next season.
Dargan, we talked about in the last hour, and I said that I think it's starting to become a trend the way this team plays in double elimination tournaments. My question for you is, other than the roster returning next year and then possibly what's down the road with this program, what are the biggest challenges facing this program in order to make this a mainstay, in order for them to year in and year out contend to be a team that makes the NCAA tournament?
I would say, Rick talked about this before, you know, the Big Ten tournament this year title was great, and the run was spectacular that they were able to knock off the teams that did, but they want to be in a position where they don't have to win the Big Ten tournament to get in. You know, their RPI and strength of schedule was a little down this year to where, you know, they needed that title to get in, and that was in part because of some you know, bad losses that they had, but also some teams that they thought were going to be good. You know, Kansas State comes to mind, and some of the teams that they played in some of those early season tournaments didn't end up being, you know, as good as they thought they were going to be. And, you know, for them, there's nothing they can do about that. So I would say, you know, they want to be in a position where, you know, they have margin for error in the Big Ten tournament to where they don't necessarily have to win it every year to get in. So I would say the biggest challenge is, you know, keeping that RPI and that strength of schedule, you know, at a level where, you know, they can get at large bids and have a better chance of keeping, you know, an extended postseason streak, an extended regional appearance streak going. Because that's, you know, that's what Rick Hiller said is, you know, if to make it to Omaha, you got to make it to the region, you got to make regional appearances consistently and, you know, hope that one year the stars align, so to speak, and you end up in Omaha. So, you know, that's the biggest key, you know, is keeping that momentum going to where they're making the postseason every year, they're making, you know, regional runs, and, you know, you can't always bank on, you know, winning the conference tournament. So, you know, getting in a position where they can get at-large bids, you know, I think it's probably the biggest challenge, biggest focus moving forward.
Dargan Southard of the Press Citizen, thank you very much for the time, and we will touch base with you down the road, I'm sure.
Awesome. Thanks for having me on, guys.
5:18 on a Monday edition of the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn. I apologize for the phone issues. that we've been having here lately. We thought we had this situation addressed here within the station. It is very clearly on our end, and I apologize to you, the listener, for not getting the best product that we can possibly give you. I know we had issues talking with Freddie Sanchez last week, and certainly there were some issues with that segment as well, but hopefully you were able to take at least a little something away from the discussion. You can give Dargan a follow on Twitter, by the way, at Dargan_Southard. And had we had more time, I would have asked him if he'd ever listened when he was at the University of Tennessee to WNML, the sports animal, or if he had ever spent any time at the cross-eyed cricket. But I don't want to be accused of recycling my old material, so I won't, and I didn't.
Did you see a little interaction on Twitter this weekend between me and a current employee of WNML?
No, I did not.
So
you talked to Tyler this weekend? He was in Nashville, I think.
You're really going
to... I'm sorry.
You're really going to
Smashville.
Smashville. Todd, you're really going to get a kick out of this. It's almost like he's been listening to us, and if he's listening to us now, hi, Tyler. So do you know how he used to always say honesty hour? Let's have honesty hour. That's one of his staples, right?
I think I heard it a time or two, yeah.
So I, being the AAC person I am, tweeted something like, let's have honesty hour right now. I really am not a huge fan of the University of Houston. So I get a reply from Tyler, and it said, it had a little copyright sign. It said, every time you say honesty hour, you owe me $20.
And your response?
I just, a lot of emojis, just shocked emoji and laughing emoji, because it was right after we were talking about Woodja and the 6 a.m. showdown and love it or leave it, and then that popped across my timeline, and I knew you would get a kick out of that.
It is 5:20. What we're going to do is we're going to step aside here. Kyle is going to come back in with another Midwest One Bank Big Board update. We are about to the halfway point, and we still haven't given away that Amana Colonies golf prize package, which includes a round of golf for you as well as a cart and some balls. Be listening for your chance to win tonight. And if you're caller number 6, you're going to be hitting the links. And I imagine there were a lot of people doing that this weekend here in eastern Iowa, as the weather has been absolutely beautiful, although a touch on the warm side. But I hope, you know, every year, we get this every year, spring lasts about 2 weeks here in eastern Iowa, and it's absolutely glorious, and then we go right into the heart of summer.
We go from 50 to 90 very quickly. Do you still consider winter 50 degrees, or is that spring here in Iowa?
50 degrees is, it's all relative. I will say that. We were on vacation one time in Charleston, South Carolina, and it was 50 degrees in November.
That's right. You were telling me about this.
And it still felt warm enough to me that I wore a light jacket, and everybody else was walking around like Nanook of the North. And it temperature is relative, man. Like the Orange Bowl, the second Orange Bowl that Iowa went to, when it was just miserable on South Beach, it was in the low 60s, upper 50s, and people are down there just complaining about the weather, and this sucks, and it was gray, and it was overcast. It was still a little bit warmer down there than it was in Iowa. And so me, I'm not going into the ocean or anything, partly because, as I've noted on the program before, I can't swim. And it leaves probably a legion of people rooting for my next beach vacation. Go a little bit further. Go out a little bit
further.
Go
waist deep.
Go waist deep, and then you get a wave to come over, and you lose your sunglasses like I did in the Dominican. But that's another story for another time. But temperature is all relative. But I can handle a little bit of cold. It's when the heat goes north that I have issues. And that, look, I'm not the only fat guy here. This is not breaking news. Fat guys will understand what I am talking about. We loathe summer, not just because fashion isn't exactly favorable to fat guys in the summer. We've got two options. You can go shirtless, which is okay for men to do, but not exactly, let's just say it's frowned upon for men of girth. Or you can go the tank top route, I guess, and that's not really much better, especially if you have forearm hair like my high school baseball coach did. He may or may not have been part Wookiee. Yeah, heat, I don't do well in heat, and neither do other fat guys. 319-366-1600, a surprise departure in the world of Big Ten basketball today. Kyle will tell you all about it on our next Midwest One Bank Big Board update. You're listening to the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn here on KGYM. Back after this.
Easy as apple pie. Easy as falling off a log. Easy as 1, 2, 3. That's how easy it is to earn the power rate in ATM fee refunds with Power Checking at Midwest One Bank. 9 out of 10 new users of Power Checking said they'd recommend it because it's easy to qualify and easy to use. Don't settle for free checking when you can earn the power rate with Power Checking at Midwest One. Open your account at MidwestOne.com today. Qualifications apply. Maximum $15 in ATM fee refunds per qualification cycle. Member FDIC.
The key to success? Keep it simple, especially when it comes to hiring. And nobody makes it easier than Indeed.com. Post a job in minutes, set up screener questions, manage your candidates from one dashboard. According to an independent study, 5 times more hires are made through Indeed than any other job site. New users claim your $50 credit to post a sponsored job at Indeed.com/credit. Indeed, the world's number one job site. Terms, conditions, and quality standards apply.
Napa Know How.
When you buy AC Pro refrigerant at Napa for $33.99, it comes with a pressure gauge, quick connect hose, and refrigerant to make just about any car cool again. Old cars, new cars, brown cars, even cars with hand crank windows. If it has 4 wheels and an air conditioner, AC Pro refrigerant for $33.99 can make your car cool. Literally. That's Napa Know How.
Napa Know How.
At participating Napa Auto Parts stores. Offer expires 6/30/17.
It's time for some straight talk. Those big wireless companies love to dangle a low price in front of you.
That's all you see on TV these days, all their so-called great deals.
But then, out of nowhere, they hit you with these activation charges and mystery fees.
That's a line drive right to the family jewels.
There you go, and it's not over. Then they nail you with data overages every month.
Good luck walking those off.
That's why you should just switch to Straight Talk Wireless. They have all the best phones from top brands for a whole lot less every month, and without all the mystery fees and overages.
Okay, but what's the coverage like?
Straight Talk uses the exact same 4G LTE wireless networks that the big guys do.
Sounds like it might be time to switch to Straight Talk.
Best phones, best networks for a whole lot less.
And you don't have to wear a cup.
Unlimited plans start at $45 a month on America's largest, most dependable 4G LTE networks. Straight Talk Wireless. Only at Walmart. Savings may vary. A month equals 30 days. Please refer always to the latest terms and conditions of service at straighttalk.com.
When you're standing in the driveway late for work because your garage door won't go down, you don't have time for big door company games. So call Olinger Garage Doors, a small company with dedicated folks who are ready to roll up their sleeves and get you on your way. And they only use the best from North Central brand products. Olinger Garage Doors, based in Newhall, serving Cedar Rapids and the surrounding areas, is now hiring installers and service people who'd like to join their team. Olinger GarageDoors.com.
Welcome back. It's 527, the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn, continuing toward 7 o'clock this evening. Game 4 of the Stanley Cup Finals on the way. The Pittsburgh Penguins in Nashville to take on the Predators. That'll be coming your way on all three frequencies. And a quick look at the Jerry Ask Investment Services text line lets me know that there are more people that were frustrated about not being able to watch the Iowa baseball team on ESPN over the weekend. There are 16 regionals, and you've got multiple games going on at each regional site. And unlike the NCAA basketball tournament, baseball games tend to take a lot longer, and it makes it very difficult to fit everything into TV windows, and they do what they can. Again, as I said in hour number one, we would not be complaining about this 20 years ago. If you would have told me way back in 1997 when I was in high school, when I was a junior, that I'd be able to get on the computer and watch any game that I wanted to watch, I would have said, sign me up. Where do I go? Sign me up.
Exactly. And I think back to the days where, like you were talking about, we pretty much thought that the college football game, any Division I college football game of that wasn't the game of the week, was not going to be on TV. And that was in my generation. So I know things have changed quickly, and I have no problem with watching it on the computer every once in a while.
So, I mean, ESPN, I'm glad that they were able to put one of the Iowa games on, and ESPN3 for everything else. I mean, they wanted to put the game on last night, and then the 5.5-hour rain delay was going to cause some issues, especially with the NBA Finals going on and ESPN programming. But be thankful that you live in a world where ESPN3 is an option. Correct, Kyle?
That is very correct. And I shared your struggles last night. I couldn't find it either.
Now, that was on the Jerry Ask Investment Services text line, on the Todd Brommelkamp text line, which is my personal phone here. The feedback is also excellent today. Time now for a Midwest One Bank Big Board update. Midwest One, where you're the one, Kyle Mann.
The big news of the day was that Ohio State's Thad Matta is resigning as head basketball coach, and that's going to be effective immediately. Matta and the university have said it was a mutual split, and the program needed a change at that position. The Iowa baseball team had its season come to a close late last night after a 7-5 loss to the Houston Cougars. Jake Adams hit a home run to tie it at 5 in the bottom of the 8th, but Houston scored 2 in the 9th and went on to win. The Hawkeyes finished the season 39-22, the 5th highest win total in the program's history, and Adams finished his season as the NCAA's home run leader with an Iowa and Big Ten record 29. This was Iowa's 4th consecutive season with 30 or more wins, something the program hadn't done since 1985. Iowa also had some wrestling action over the weekend as Brandon Sorensen claimed a national title at the United World Wrestling University Nationals in Akron, Ohio, outscoring his opponents 58-6. Iowa State also sent 16 of its wrestlers to the event and saw 3 of them place. The Cedar Rapids Colonels had a good weekend as well, taking 2 of 3 from the Burlington Bees on the road, including an 11-6 victory on Sunday. They're off today and traveling to Clinton. The Cubs, just within the last 20 to 30 minutes, placed Wade Davis on paternity list and recalled right-hander Dylan Flora from Iowa. You can catch Game 4 of the Stanley Cup Finals between the Penguins and Predators tonight in Nashville on all 3 KGYN frequencies.
The paternity list, I believe you are allowed to miss a maximum of 3 days on that, and it gives teams options, much like the bereavement list when somebody passes away that's close to a player. So Cubs will be going into that Marlins series at Wrigley Field without their closer, Wade Davis, and riding a 3-game winning streak after sweeping the St. Louis Cardinals. And I know how thrilled Alex was to talk about that during hour number one of the program. We may or may
ecstatic.
Not, we may or may not touch on it again here coming up in hour number 3. More of the Todd Brommelkamp Show is on the way here on KGYM. Don't go anywhere. We'll be back with more after this.
This bottom of the hour Sports Center update is brought to you by Network Computer Solutions. They were voted best IT support company in the Corridor Business Journal. They're the missing piece to your IT puzzle.
Your computer and IT needs are as individual as you are, and there really is no reason to be a sheeple. And pick a plan that has you paying monthly service fees to be part of a herd. At Network Computer Solutions, you only pay for what you need because the plan is designed for you. Call NCS at 247-7223. 247-7223. If you're sick of the wool being pulled over your eyes, call Network Computer Solutions. They're the missing piece to your IT puzzle.
ESPN Radio Sports Center.
I'm Doug Brown. Ohio State fires basketball coach Thad Matta today after 13 seasons. Matta averaged 26 wins a year with the Buckeyes, but the team missed the NCAA tournament the last 2 seasons. Another Ohio team hoping a taste of home will help their cause. After 2 blowout losses in Oakland, the Cavaliers bring the NBA Finals to Cleveland for Games 3 and 4. Game 3 Wednesday night here on ESPN Radio and ABC. From baseball, the Nationals put outfielder Jason Wirth on the DL with a left foot injury. Nationals and Dodgers tonight at 10 Eastern on ESPN. 3 unidentified Michigan State football players are now charged with sexual assault in connection with an alleged attack in East Lansing back in January. The three players will probably be arraigned tomorrow or Wednesday. Clemson defensive end Richard Yergin suffered a neck injury in a car accident over the weekend. He'll miss the 2017 season for the defending champs. After winning his third race of the season on Sunday, NASCAR driver Jimmy Johnson had a procedure today to remove skin cancer from his shoulder. His schedule won't be affected.
Experience why for nearly a century men have trusted Barbasol for a close, comfortable shave. Whether it's extra moisturizing with vitamin E or soothing aloe, all you have to do is sit back and bask in the glory of your close shave. You're looking good, America. You're shaving with Barbasol.
Your car's in pretty good shape. If it's only 6 or 7 years old, you just commute to work every day and take the occasional road trip. Sometimes you drive around just so your dog can hang his head out the window. Your car doesn't have to be old to accumulate miles. Pennzoil High Mileage is for any vehicle with 75,000 miles or more on it. It's specially formulated to reduce oil consumption and leaks and reduce engine wear. Pennzoil High Mileage, because before you know it, you'll be on the road again. Make the switch at your local Pep Boys location and let the performance speak for itself.
At Firestone Complete Auto Care, our 4,000 ASC certified technicians have the state-of-the-art tools to keep your car running newer, longer. Because when your car's running right, so are you. Take advantage of the Bonus Savings Day summer event and get $100 off any purchase of $500 or more. Whatever you drive, drive a Firestone.
Offer valid June 8th through June 11th on any purchase. Exclusions may apply. In-store installation required. Maximum savings $100. $50 minimum purchase required for tiered offer. See store or drivafirestone.com for full details.
Once upon a time, there was a new crossover that refused to play by the rules. It flipped the script and made all the others look like fools. Featuring styling that's sexier by far and handles like a rock star. Introducing the first ever Toyota CHR.
Enjoy agile handling in the body of a seductive crossover that comes with standard 18-inch alloy wheels. The first ever Toyota CHR. The perfect ride to spin your own tail. Toyota. Let's go places.
Mary, you're glowing gold.
I know, I joined the Fuel Rewards program and got rewarded with instant gold status at Shell.
And now your body radiates gold?
Yes, and I save 5 cents a gallon on every fill every day.
5 cents a gallon? Wow.
And gold is all the rage this season.
Oh, yeah.
Get rewarded with instant gold status at Shell with the Fuel Rewards program. It's free to join, so join now at fuelrewards.com/gold. Restrictions apply. Active gold status required. Introductory offer valid for 6 months after activation. Limit 20 gallons at participating Shell stations. See fuelrewards.com/gold for full details. Doesn't actually turn bodies gold.
5:36, welcome back. It's the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn on KGYM, 106.3 FM in Iowa City, 107.5 FM in Cedar Rapids, and 1600 AM, the historic main gym all across eastern Iowa. Big thank you going out to Dargan Southard, who joined us earlier in the program from the Iowa City Press Citizen, covering the Iowa baseball team from start to finish this season, and a couple people on the text line passing along their thanks for his efforts when the Iowa baseball program wasn't getting a ton of coverage or love early in the season. And then down the stretch, everybody comes out of the woodwork. You've got to tip your cap to the guys that were there through some of the March and early April games, those midweek games against teams like South Dakota State, Bradley. He was there, and many, many years ago when I was on that beat and sitting through some of those games, the team was not nearly as good as it was this year, and I can tell you that it is sometimes a very tough existence, but still, there are worse things to be doing. I believe it was Judge Smales in Caddyshack that said, the world needs ditch diggers too. See what I did there? I got our very own Caddysmack golf program on the gym class on Wednesdays, confused with one of the funniest, most entertaining movies of all time. Kyle, by the way, was very concerned.
He was. I was glad you caught that.
Because Scott Unash is going to be taking some time off, and Kyle is going to be sitting in with Mark Dukes on the gym class, I believe.
Thursday and Friday.
You've been elevated out of the emergency guest host role.
Well, I think that that's due to a lot of confidence in Kyle and his abilities. But yes, he was concerned that in the sports office, we have our schedule of when people are going to be taking time off. One of Scott's listed days off was Wednesday. And that would mean that Kyle would have to do caddy smack. And Kyle was concerned because he claims to know very, very little about golf.
You put the ball on a little piece of wood, you swing a club, you drive your cart, you drink some beer, you try to knock the ball into the hole. It's a pretty simple game when you stop and think about it. But Kyle dodged that particular bullet and was quite happy about it. But the world needs ditch diggers too, Danny. 5:38, and we've got Bill Landis from the Cleveland Plain Dealer set to join us in hour number three. This is very surprising news today, and it caught most everybody nationally flat-footed, especially those of us here in Big Ten country. But it's not often on June 5th that you see a Big Ten team making a change and looking for a new men's basketball coach. But that's exactly what Ohio State is doing today, as Thad Matta, who had one more year remaining on his contract, if I recall correctly, and the early reports were that Thad Matta was going to announce today, along with Gene Smith, that he was going to coach next year and then retire. They have the news conference at noon today, 1 Eastern in Columbus, and Gene Smith comes out and says that Thad Matta is no longer the coach of the Buckeyes, and jaws dropped. This is a guy, Alex. Matta is only 49 years old. He took the Buckeyes to 9 NCAA tournament appearances in 13 seasons, 2 Final Four appearances, and this past year, they were 17-15 overall, 7-11 in Big Ten play. It was his worst season in Columbus. It was the first time in 13 seasons that they didn't win 20 games on his watch. Very, very impressive coaching career, coaching resume, and it was underway well before he got to Columbus. He had stops at Xavier and Butler also, but his work in the Big Ten, I think, is underrated.
Completely underrated. And it's interesting to me to see these coaches, whether it's Tom Crean or whether now it's Thad Matta, and there are many more examples throughout all of sports of coaches who are a victim of their own success. And that's what we're seeing right here with Thad Matta. Can you think of a coach in the Big Ten who has produced more top 5, top 10 successful NBA players than this guy right here? And he recruits well. And I think that when we check with Bill Landis here at 6:35, I think one of the biggest reasons why this change is coming right now was due to one recruiting class in particular that at the time in 2015 was looked at as one of the best in the country, and now all 5 of those players are gone. So the guy that recruited, I think, better than anybody in the Big Ten, whether it was D'Angelo Russell or Jared Sullinger or Greg Oden or Mike Conley, and you could go on and on, Evan Turner, etc. The guy that brought all those guys in was eventually let go from a program, whether it was mutual or not. He is no longer with the program, partly due to the fact that the recruiting the past couple of years has not been up to standards.
Thad Matta out as Ohio State's head coach, and the question now becomes, who do the Buckeyes get? Who do you turn to on June 5th? And you're looking for a long-term solution here. You're not going to go out and hire a guy to come in and temporarily fill the position. You are looking for your next head coach, and to me, one of the more interesting things about this is as Matta is put out to pasture by Gene Smith, he's also going to be involved in hiring the next head coach. Now, to me, that automatically makes me wonder, is it going to be somebody from his coaching tree? Now, you look, and you've got the Miller brothers. Well, one of them is off of the table. Archie,
he's
just
not going
took the job at Indiana. John Gross, who failed in Champaign as head coach of the Fighting Illini, you're not selling that to your fan base. He's not going to be the pick. And a couple of the other guys in his coaching tree, I don't think are ready for prime time. They don't have an assistant. Jeff Beals has been there for a really long time, unless he left to take a job at his own program, which I don't think. I think he's been on staff there and still is on staff. But they don't have an assistant that's poised to take over. And this is really late in the game. And I know there's a lot of people speculating that they could be looking to the NBA for a hire. But as we mentioned in hour number one, it's not going to be Brad Stevens.
It's not going to be Brad Stevens, but here's a name for you. And let me know whether you think this is a realistic expectation or a realistic option or not. Because Matt Norlander of CBSSports.com put together a list of seven realistic expectations or realistic options for the Ohio State Buckeyes basketball program. And the one NBA name that is being floated around is the Oklahoma City Thunder's Billy Donovan. Would he leave that situation in Oklahoma City with the uncertainty about Russell Westbrook's future to take over the Ohio State job?
His name was coming up in the Indiana search as well.
It was.
And look, whether you're doing it through back channels or a search firm, anytime that your name comes up, I tend to think that it's because you are telling somebody to put it out there. And I know Billy Donovan kind of acted annoyed that he was getting tied to the college rumors, and Oklahoma City's not a terrible gig. Is he comfortable in the NBA? I don't know that. And we got a lot of people, and I say a lot of people, somebody on the Jerry Ask Investment Services text line said, what about Fred Hoiberg? Hoiberg does not like the college game. He doesn't like to recruit. He hates recruiting, and he hates going on the rubber chicken circuit and doing the iClub / Cyclone tailgate. It's just not his cup of tea. The guy wants to coach basketball, so he's doing it in the NBA where he doesn't have to worry about going and kissing the rear end of some 17-year-old kid or playing the transfer game, which he played quite well in Ames. But he didn't necessarily enjoy doing it. I don't know who you get at this point. And then if you take a coach from another program, an established program, then does this set off another domino effect? And now Greg Marshall at Wichita State, he's not leaving a preseason number 10 team at this point in the year, the first week of June, to go take this job. And if this is what Gene Smith wanted to do or thought he was going to do, why did he wait until June 5th?
I am legitimately wondering the same question. Why is it taking this long to, quote unquote, come to an agreement that a change needs to be made? But your point about Greg Marshall, at what point is his name going to be no longer on these lists? Are we going to continue to speculate about him for the next 5 or 10 years until he comes out and signs a huge contract with Wichita State and says, I'm staying here for life? Because how many positions, how many big-time positions does he have to either withdraw his name from or not get or pass up on before we say, yeah, he's probably not going to take that job?
You know, this is my feeling on Greg Marshall, having been around him just in a limited exposure. But Greg Marshall strikes me as the type of guy who doesn't necessarily mind being a big fish in a smaller pond. I think he's relatively comfortable at Wichita State, and as long as the money is okay and he's comfortable there and his wife is comfortable there, and I'm not going to get into the stories about what his wife has said and done, and I think I've alluded to him making an ass out of himself in the hotel bar in Kansas City during the Guardians Classic the one year and thinking this guy is a Division I head coach. And this is way before Wichita State got elevated to the national place of prominence that it's at right now. But I think he's comfortable where he's at because he can still be himself. And people just sort of chalk it up to, well, that's Greg Marshall. And if you do it in Wichita, Kansas, people are more likely to give you a pass on it than if you do it at a major Power 5 school or in a big city. So to me, I don't think Greg Marshall is going to retire as the head coach at Wichita State. I'm not saying that. But I think he's comfortable staying where he's at because big fish, small pond, the treatment is a little bit different than it would be. If he went to a major market and people started paying more attention to things that were said and things that were done, all of a sudden he's got to worry about public persona, private persona, and I don't think that is something that he really wants to do.
Do you think that's a two-way street, though? Because I've heard from people that are close to Greg Marshall that a lot of schools kind of get turned off a little bit by that persona.
Absolutely. Okay. Absolutely. I think that's a huge part of it. And look, he's an interesting dude, and I will leave it at that.
Yes, he is.
And it's proof that in this world, you can be eccentric and you can get away with a lot of stuff if you win ball games. People will look the other way for a variety of reasons and on a number of topics if you win ball games. Todd Licklider was basically, he was sort of antisocial and he was kind of a flake. But if Todd Licklider had won 25 or 26 games a year at Iowa, people would have embraced him. And people would have said, hey, you know, he's just eccentric. As long as you win. Okay? And I'm not saying anything more about Todd Licklider, whom I liked as a person. As a basketball coach, I think he left a lot to be desired. As a person, if you did get to know him, and not a lot of people did, he was an okay guy. You talk fishing with him, and the guy would talk your ear off about fishing. But he wasn't comfortable doing the whole 18 cameras and 20 microphones in your face thing. He was more comfortable, now this is going to sound strange, in a larger market like Indianapolis, but Butler is a third-class citizen there. Even when that program is good, they get the amount of coverage that Northern Iowa gets. And he was comfortable with that. He got to Iowa, and they went and asked him about Media Day, and the concept was almost foreign to him. Well, what do we have to have a media day for? Well, everybody from around the state comes in. Joe Schmo from the Decorah radio station and the weekly newspaper in What Cheer, and they write about the Hawkeyes, get a little publicity, free publicity. Not a big fan of that, and just fish out of water. Chris Mack, someone on the text line brought up Chris Mack, who's at Xavier right now. I've got to think that he's one of the first phone calls that they make.
100% has to be.
Again, sort of following that Thad Mata coaching lineage. And then, you know, who cares who Xavier's looking for as its next head coach on June 5th. But this is Ohio State here, and this is a program prior to this year, which had made 11 consecutive postseason appearances, 9 of them in the NCAA tournament.
That is going to be the interesting part about this whole thing. The success that this program has had makes it at least a top 15 job in college basketball. But we're to the point right now where I don't know if Chris Mack is going to jump on this opportunity. Maybe
if
he
enough,
does.
What's he make at Xavier?
I don't have that information directly in front of me. Not as much as Ohio State's going to pay him.
He will jump. He will jump if Ohio State pays him. Now, here's the other question, and it's getting short on time here, and we'll bring it up with Bill Landis. Ohio State's a basketball school, or a football school.
It is.
My apologies. Urban Meyer runs the show there. Okay? So I think you take that into account here. You've got to take somebody who's comfortable, even when they're successful, playing second fiddle to the football program. But if you pay them enough money, you're going to find the right guy who says, hey man, as long as the checks are clearing, I'm winning games and I can do what I want to do, and people are more focused on Urban Meyer, more power to you.
And because of that, I think three names kind of stick out. We brought up Chris Mack from Xavier, Butler's Chris Holtman has done a good job since Brad Stevens left, and then Mick Cronin of Cincinnati is another name I think to keep an eye on. Not quite dipping down into the lower level of the mid majors, but the lower level of the Power Five to Power Six conferences in college basketball.
That's Chris Mack, not to be confused with Chris Economaki, 5:53, the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn continuing on towards 6 o'clock tonight. Bill Landis will talk Thad Mata with us from the Cleveland Plain Dealer coming up in hour number 3. Caller number 6 right now, 319-366-1600. You're going to win our prize package today from the Amana Colonies Golf Course. We've got a round of golf for you, as well as a cart and even some range balls thrown in there. 366-1600. Caller number 6, that prize is going to be yours. We'll find out who our winner is next, prior to our next big board update.
Hi, I'm Linda Hass. Is your company's current payroll provider striking out?
Die!
It's time to bring in relief. Switch to Future Systems, Inc., the most trusted payroll company in the corridor. From one employee to thousands of employees, Future Systems has the experience and expertise to save you time and money. Call in the big leaguers at Future Systems today at 800-453-5809. Or learn more at future-systems.net.
Mike and Mike on the Gym is presented by Hertin and Stalker Jewelers, corner of Dubuque and Washington Streets, downtown Iowa City. Stop in and say hi to Willa, Terry, Tim, or Kate. One of them is always there.
Looks like Alex in North Liberty is our winner tonight. Alex is smiling. Alex Kuhn here in the studio. That's not you.
That's not me.
You haven't, well, you're moving, but you're not moving to North Liberty.
No, Coralville.
You're moving to Coralville, which puts you, I guess, a little bit closer to Cedar Rapids. Now, if
Quite
I understand it right, Kyle is making the move from Iowa City to Cedar Rapids now that he's making that sweet producer's money.
I believe that's the case. He's looking for some options, weighing his options, but I believe Cedar Rapids might be the move for one Kyle Mann.
Once they start paying you that producer money,
It's all fun and games.
Yeah, it's all fun and games until you wind up spending producer money like you're making morning show host money down the hall, and then you wind up getting the creditors after you. The Jerry Ask Investment Services text line is chiming in. Cyclone Tim with some thoughts about Gene Smith maybe trying to lure Tim Floyd to Columbus like he did to Ames. I don't think they have to worry about that at Ohio State anytime soon. But I think if I had to guess here, Chris Mack's probably the guy.
I think so,
unless
too.
They – look, normally the old saying goes, you don't fire the guy that you've got unless you've got a guy lined up or you've got a guy in mind. And I wouldn't think that Gene Smith would do this. Now, Thad Mata also has a lot of health issues. He's got the bad back. And he's 49 years old. I don't know whether he's ever going to coach again because it's such a difficult lifestyle, but we'll find out and pick Bill Landis' brain coming up in hour number 3 as well. 49 years old is way too young to retire or essentially be put out to pasture, which is what Ohio State did today with Thad Mata. It is now 5:56, time for a Midwest One Bank Big Board update. Here's Kyle Mann.
The big news today, you might have heard us talking about it here. Ohio State's head basketball coach Thad Mata is resigning, and that's going to be effective immediately. Mata and the university said it's a mutual decision and the program just needed a change. The Iowa baseball team had its season come to a close late last night after a 7-5 loss to the Houston Cougars. Jake Adams hit a home run to tie it at 5 in the bottom of the 8th, but Houston scored 2 in the 9th and went on to win. The Hawkeyes finished the season 39-22, the fifth highest win total in the program's history. And Adams finished the season as the NCAA's home run leader with an Iowa and Big Ten record, 29. This was Iowa's fourth consecutive season with 30 or more wins, something the program hasn't done since 1985. Iowa also had some wrestlers in action over the weekend as Brandon Sorensen claimed a national title at the United World Wrestling University Nationals in Akron, Ohio. He outscored his opponents 58-6 over the weekend. Iowa State also sent 16 of its wrestlers to the event and saw 3 of them place. The Cedar Rapids Colonels had a good weekend as well, taking 2 of 3 from the Burlington Bees on the road, including an 11-6 victory on Sunday. The Colonels don't play today and are traveling to Clinton. Just within the last hour, the Cubs have placed closer Wade Davis on paternity list and recalled right-hander Dylan Floro from Iowa. You can catch Game 4 of the Stanley Cup Finals between the Penguins and Predators tonight in Nashville on all 3 KGYM frequencies.
Thank you very much, Kyle. We'll let you go to the other side of the glass. Hour number 3 right around the corner. We're going to be talking with Bill Landis from the Cleveland Plain Dealer. And oh, yeah, they played an NBA game last night. Golden State, a 132-113 winner over Cleveland. We'll talk about it after this.
The key to success? Keep it simple, especially when it comes to hiring. And nobody makes it easier than Indeed.com. Post a job in minutes, set up screener questions, manage your candidates.